Welcome to the Classical American Education Podcast with the Copelands.
Thank you for joining us today on the Classical American Education Podcast. On today's episode, we will once again take a closer look at one of the resources that we used in our recent series, The Four Horsemen of America's Educational Apocalypse. If you have not yet listened to those episodes, I encourage you to download them today and discover what is happening in the American classroom of 2023. One resource that we quoted from in Season 2, the excellent book titled Cynical Theories by Helen Pluckrose and James Lindsay, was already featured in the book review for Season 1. So go back and listen to Episode 6 if you missed that one. We plan to also discuss at length two other books by James Lindsay that were mentioned this season in future episodes, so be on the lookout for that. Today, we will be focusing upon the very important work done by Mary Graber in her 2019 book, Debunking Howard Zinn. As explained in Episode 8, Zinn is the person we selected as the first horseman of America's educational apocalypse. Additionally, we have given him the nickname, the false prophet of America's past. He has been called by others, quote, an unreconstructed anti-American Marxist, and his most popular book has been correctly referred to as, quote, cartoon anti-history. But the impact this anti-American pseudo-historian has had upon the American classroom is certainly disturbing. In her scholarly dismantling of Howard Zinn, Graber recognized the, quote, remarkable success of Zinn's anti-American history in persuading large swaths of the American people to despise their own country. She pulls no punches in her assessment of the man she refers to as, quote, a far-left political activist, very possibly a member of the Communist Party USA. The stories he put into A People's History of the United States weren't balanced factual history, but crude morality tales designed to destroy Americans' patriotism and turn them into radical leftists, end quote. She shares grim statistics that should be both shocking and concerning to us all. 52% of millennials would prefer to live in a socialist or communistic country, and only 45% of Americans between the ages of 18 and 29 have a positive view of capitalism. How could this happen in a country where many states have laws requiring that the benefits of the free market economic system be taught in public school? One very significant reason is the false history predominantly featured in the American classroom, mainly as the result of Zinn's propaganda. While his writings are still used in classrooms as textbooks today, the real danger lies and the fact that the first generation exposed to his communistic propaganda are now the teachers influencing not only their classrooms, but an entire culture. Perhaps Zinn's most well-known target is Christopher Columbus. We previously detailed how Zinn took quotes from different pages in Columbus's diary and pieced them together as if they were in the same sentence. To besmirch the character of this man Americans were once taught to respect for bravery and leadership. At the same time, Zinn paints a very false picture of the Native Americans, often referred to as Zinn's usable Indian. Graber explains, quote, Zinn never gets beyond a second grade level of description, dwelling on happy topics like sharing, farming, hunting, and fishing. According to Graber, he, quote, lumps all Indian tribes into one mythical pre-Columbian utopia. She continues, Columbus and the European civilization he represents are the serpent that destroyed the real-life Garden of Eden. She quotes the explanation of Richard Johnson, who explains, quote, the caricature of the innocent, generous, pacifist Indian was convenient to collectivists of the 1960s and beyond. Let's pause for a moment and consider the significance of that claim. The man who was once held up as a reason to be proud of the manner in which our nation came into existence is falsely portrayed as a racist, and the native peoples who often were the actual aggressors in conflicts with settlers, including some who were cannibals, they are falsely painted as virtuous victims. And all of this is done by a man with direct connections to the Communist Party. Again, I ask, how can we as a nation be so unwise as to allow that to be considered educational? And that is only the start of Zinn's attack on the land of the free and the home of the brave. Graeber refers to his logic as mental gymnastics, explaining, quote, "Zinn will do anything to make America look bad. He simply cannot allow his reader to give the first Republican elected president credit for freeing the slaves and for going about it in a principled and prudent manner. That would mean giving the American people credit for abolishing slavery, and it would undermine Zinn's picture of America as a uniquely racist country." She further explains that Zinn's purpose is not to offer a critique of one specific U.S. president, but to indict all American presidents and pretend they're all the same because all of them, regardless of party or individual character, are irredeemable, greedy, capitalist warmongers, end quote. Debunking Zinn also includes detailed discussion of his exploitation of the racial tension of the 1960s, his anti-American views of both World War II and the Vietnam War, and his sympathetic attitude towards the Soviet Union during the Cold War era. In short, Graeber explains that Zinn's work is, quote, "falsified American history to promote a communist revolution." And that is exactly what is being pushed in the American culture today. John Dewey's dreams of the American classroom being an arm of the communistic revolution is becoming a reality in our day. And as a whole, we are allowing it to happen due to either our own ignorance or apathy. I encourage you to order a copy of this tremendous work from the link we will place in the show notes today. More than simply sharing the alarming details I have provided in this brief overview, Graeber also tells the true stories that have been twisted by the false prophet of America's past.
The Classical American Education Podcast is currently in the process of producing a patriotic, Bible-based, family-style subject bundle to aid you in the noble endeavor of training up your children in the way they should go. Our first project in the bundle is a family devotional. Stay tuned for more details about the release of this important project. Thank you for sharing more about this excellent resource. Every educator, parent, and pastor should invest the time to read this book. I am struck by the title, A People's History of the United States. It seems rather amazing to me that educators would not immediately recognize the communistic implications of the title, just like the People's Republic of China.
I agree that it is rather obvious. The argument you would likely receive about that claim is that Zinn is simply trying to explain history from the common man's perspective instead of only caring about how the elites of society have characterized historical events in our nation's past. Obviously, that is a smokescreen aimed at what communists do very well, appeal to emotions in a way that seems as if they are appealing to logic. It makes the average high school student feel as if they are obtaining some secret knowledge that their parents never knew. At least, part of that might be the case because so much of what Zinn presents are half-truths and outright lies that only a few generations ago would never have been included in any history textbook. Anyone at all familiar with communist terminology should know from the title what the purpose of Zinn's book is. However, we live in a day where even those that refer to themselves as educated are far more ignorant than at any time period in our nation's history. Even that statement is guaranteed to cause an angry reaction from many who equate the word ignorant with the word stupid, but they do not mean the same thing. A person who is stupid is incapable of learning, but a person who is ignorant has never been exposed to the truth. Perhaps our listeners can help one of the ignorant educators they know by purchasing them a copy of this book.
I agree. Has there been any organized pushback against Howard Zinn other than the book from Mary Graber and the academics that she cites?
Yes, there certainly has. The most well-known was from a politician named Mitch Daniels. Perhaps some of our listeners remember his presidential campaign while serving as the governor of Indiana. He was successful in temporarily banning Zinn's book from the classroom. However, his attempts were vilified in the liberal media, and his efforts were undercut by the Zinn Education Project, who simply took donations and then shipped free copies of the textbook to teachers around the state. A governor can ban the purchase of a textbook, but it is virtually impossible to ban an idea when the classroom door is closed and no video or audio surveillance is allowed. Interestingly, we are seeing a push for more accountability of the classroom by video surveillance in many school districts. The real answer is for the ideas of Zinn to be exposed on the battleground of ideas and defeated by the American population as a whole. Ultimately, a transition away from government schools and towards private schools, micro schools, and homeschooling is what we should be praying for.
I know recently the New York Times published a very controversial 1619 project, which has been distributed around America as a curriculum that seems very much in line with what you have shared about Howard Zinn. Are these two ideologies related?
There is no doubt in my mind. And part of the truth of that claim is how active the Zinn Education Project has been in promoting it to school systems throughout our nation. The 1619 Project began as a series of essays published by the New York Times that is based upon an outrageous lie. The lead author, Hannah Nicole Jones, claimed that the American Revolution was not fought to establish a nation founded upon the ideal expressed in the Declaration of Independence, but instead to prevent slavery from being abolished in the colonies by Great Britain. That is a falsehood that Howard Zinn and Karl Marx would have been very proud to claim as their own.
We plan to delve much deeper into the topic of the 1619 Project in a later episode of the Classical American Education Podcast. To be sure that you don't miss that discussion, make sure to subscribe today. You can also really help us get the word out about content like this by sharing and rating this podcast.
Be sure to let everyone know about the Classical American Education Podcast before the start of Season 3, when we will be discussing the true history of America that is tragically missing from the American classroom far too often today.
We welcome your feedback and suggestions for the type of content you would like to hear in future episodes. Reach out to us at classicalamericaned@powg.org. We look forward to you joining us for Season 3. Until then, may God bless you as you serve Him in Jesus' name.